The following podcast of The Bench is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right. Deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code BENCH101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com. Use promo code BENCH101.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back to the Cheers studio here on ESPN 97.5. Adele, what do you think our player of the week should be?
Well, John, let's have Robbins Brothers tell the people.
What?
Here's your Diamond Play of the Week, presented by Robbins Brothers, the engagement ring store.
And would send Los Angeles to Super Bowl 53. Bad snap. The kick is good. Rams win it, and on to Super Bowl 53 they go. Sean McVay and this Rams team on the road. And what a job by Johnny Hecker to get that snap.
This Diamond Play of the Week is presented by Robbins Brothers, the engagement ring store, West Loop South and Clear Lake.
What a play. What a play.
There it is. Thank you, Robbins Brothers. The NFL made the mistake of putting out there, everything we learned from a wild championship weekend. What do you think all the responses were?
Your refs suck.
Every single one. Every single response is how bad the refereeing is. Man, this picture, Patrick Carew put out a picture of Lewis getting lit up by Nickell Roby Coleman.
Yeah.
Roby Coleman. And the referee is standing right there, looking directly at it.
So, if you look, though, I'm not sure how he missed that. Now that I'm looking, they show a video where it should, where he should see it. Like,
I mean,
you see him get there
early. It can't
early.
Be more clear. It cannot be more. I mean, he's standing 5 feet from it.
You know, when I see these things, I think, I'm going to tell you a quick story. Back when I was had my first unfortunate marriage, we went to Vegas. I was pretty young. I was 24. Went to Vegas for a honeymoon. And a guy named Gordon Wood used to be the dog track announcer at Gulf Greyhound Park. And I got to be buddies with him.
Yeah, I remember.
And
yeah.
He had a cousin named Jimmy Spatafore. They call him Jimmy Spats. And he ran a handicapping service in Las Vegas. So he goes, and I had talked to him on the phone a couple times, and he said, hey, go see, when you're going out to Vegas, go see my cousin, Jimmy Spats. So I went, I was in Vegas, got a taxi ride.
Jimmy Spats is a great name.
I know. I get a ride out to his office space, which is, you know, it's like a strip center in Las Vegas, to Jimmy Spats' office. And I'm in his office, and I'll never forget, he told me this story, and it makes me think of this. He told me a story. This is a handicapper in Las Vegas. He said, we had a guy a couple of years ago who would give we would get not get information from him directly. We would get information from, he said, let's just call it a third party, where this guy ended up having some gambling debts. And one of the things that he would do would make decisions on when and when not to call interference penalties if he needed to in certain Pac-12 games. And this guy in college Pac-12 games, and he said it was easy to have an influence on games. Mm-hmm. He said it was no guarantee. I couldn't guarantee anything, but the later you get in games, if the game is around a certain number, you can make, there's always opportunities to make calls or swallow your whistle. And he said there was a guy in the Pac-12 that was literally, we knew we had a guy on the, because it wasn't a surefire thing, but we knew what side he needed to, what side our third party was on and what side we needed to put our customers on. And when he told me that, now he could have been lying to me, but I don't, that sounds pretty reasonable that a guy could just say, I can make decisions when I want to call a holding in football more than any other sport. Basketball's like that too. But, and I'm not accusing the ref of doing that by any stretch of the imagination, especially an NFL ref. But every time I see stuff like that, I always think back to that story where refs have the ability to just say, mm-hmm. because there is no...
Well, the Brady phantom of roughing the passer.
Yeah.
Now, from behind, you I could see it. How it looked.
Because he did.
And his hand came, and it missed Brady.
Yeah.
But if you're behind...
Hey, don't call it if you're behind, if you can't see it.
Well, but you saw...
But he Chris Jones, a big dude, he hits the shoulder pads, the head goes jostling. I could see missing that one. I just... Look,
there's no way you can miss
the
this.
Way that the defensive back responded immediately after. He knew he was fully expected.
Afterwards, he said, "I'm waiting for the crowd. The crowd cheer, and it didn't come. And all of a sudden, he knew. There's no penalty, and he was like, respect the call, respect the call. Okay, it's unbelievable though that but it is it unbelievable because has this not been a year where we said every week we're talking about a call that these two games were decided by the referees should not be surprising at all.
It's really a nightmare scenario for the league because it has been more than any other time we've had issues with officials getting it wrong and the NFL having to admit they made mistakes.
There may be a... I'm telling you, the competition committee, at some point we're going to hear they're going to look into a possible penalty review. A possible penalty review. Maybe the coach gets one and you get one challenge in the last 2 minutes of a game or whatever. But there is going to be a look into this offseason because it just is affecting way too many games. Way too many games that you should, that in the, maybe in the, only in the last 2 minutes, upstairs can say, wait a minute, we got to take a look at that penalty and decide whether or not that was a good penalty or not. Because that is more important than a lot of the stuff that you can review. It's actually more important than it. And it was yesterday. That game is over. That game is over if he makes the right call.
Who was the what was the official's name who missed?
Oh, I don't know.
Seen that, Dell?
I haven't seen the specific name.
I'm looking it up. Trust me, it pops up really quickly on Google when I started typing on who was ref, and it immediately filled out who missed the call in Saints game. It immediately autofills for you. So that's been searched about 1,000 times.
You got the picture of the guy. His number should be on his jersey.
Are we going to internet dox this guy?
No, I'm preparing for the next phone call because I see what Chris wants to talk about, and I want to find the guy's name because we can have an answer for him immediately.
Okay, and his referee number is, I can tell you, because he's standing right there. His number isn't, you can't see his number. Let's get Chris in here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Chris?
Hey, good morning, guys. You're actually talking about what I was going to call about. The ref's name is Phil McKinney. He played for the Rams, supposedly, in 1981.
Come on. That can't be possible.
If that's the case, then how are they letting these refs with, you know, that played for an opposing team back in the day? I mean, wouldn't his opinion be biased?
His name is Phil McKinney?
McKinley.
Phil McKinley.
McKinley?
Phil McKinley. And
he, oh, my gosh.
He played for the Rams in 1981. And if you go on his Wikipedia page.
He was a tackle?
Yeah, for a year. And
he's 64?
But he played for the Rams for a year. He played for the Falcons. He didn't have a long career. If you go to his Wikipedia page, it lists all the teams he played for. Falcons, Rams, Bears, Memphis Showboats, Birmingham Stallion. Yeah. In 2019, he's now back on an NFL roster, says Los Angeles Rams.
McKinley was accused by Samari Roll of calling him boy on December 3rd, 2007, during a game between the Ravens and the Patriots. They're African-American, by the way. The alleged exchange occurred late in the game. I'm trying to see if Saints fans have gotten to his Wikipedia page. Like,
yeah, that's what I said. They just put him on the Rams. Look, they have his playing career, and in 2019,
oh, they just
after
put him
a
on
34-year gap of playing football, 2019 says Los Angeles Rams. They have him on the...
There it is. That's what you were talking. I didn't know what you were talking about.
I was going down the list. 1985 is when he actually officially stopped playing the game. Then now in 2019, he's now a member of the Rams.
They've already done this. That is funny.
Oh, man, I want to put that on Twitter, but I just feel like the commissioner wouldn't like it.
No.
I better not put that on Twitter.
Yeah, Roll's quote was, the refs called me a boy. Number 110, which is McKinley's number, called me a boy. I will be calling my agent in the morning and sending my complaint. I have a wife and three kids. Don't call me boy. Don't call me boy on the field during the game because I said you've never played football before.
Is this the ref that – remember we did a segment on this ref. Was this the ref
that – No, this isn't the one that
– That gets in that everybody's in kitchen?
On, no, who was – because he got in trouble.
Yeah.
That ref got in trouble for like – yeah. When he like goes and starts cussing at you.
Yeah.
Don't act like a bitch in, bitch. Like, yeah. He can't – he called me – did you hear what he called me?
Yeah, it's not him. Are you sure it's not him?
I don't think it is. I think that was one of the guys who stands – who's the official that stands behind the action?
He's the.
I don't think he's the line judge.
He's the ref.
I got to remember who
that second referee, not the second official. There's a ref and then there's another guy.
There's two of them back there now. So he did play for the Rams in 81 and now he's playing for the Rams in 19.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that.
You think the 1 year with the Rams and. Well, he played at UCLA. He is from the California.
He's from,
Oakland, California.
This just opens it up to this.
I mean, it really does.
But why with this guy?
Oh, here it is.
He played a year for the Rams.
Jerry Hughes had the scrap with the ref. I'll get his name.
Yeah, who is that ref that was his taunts players?
He goes, I'll catch you. You I'll catch suck. You on the street.
Stop sucking, and maybe you'll get a call.
let's see.
If you weren't letting Laramie Tunsil bury you after every play, maybe you'd get a call.
If you weren't Laramie Tunsil's bitch, maybe maybe you'd get a call.
What'd you say? Remember that? Yeah. That's when... That's whenever he couldn't believe that the ref said something. The ref accused a Roy Ellison. The NFL referee who allegedly called Jerry Hughes a bitch got put on administrative leave. Roy Ellison. He confronted
him. Here's McKinley's Wikipedia page. In the 2019 NFC Championship, McKinley swallowed his whistle and had temporary paralysis subsequently. By the time he recovered, his former team was in the locker room celebrating an ill-begotten Super Bowl berth.
Oh, that's... How about this? I forgot about that. Trent Williams.
In light of his efforts to help the Los Angeles Rams win an undeserved NFC championship, the team announced McKinley would be added to their roster, making him eligible for cash bonuses and a new contract.
I think this just got added.
What about this sentence? Thus, McKinley will be the first game official to be inducted into the Rams Ring of Honor during a halftime of a game in a 2019 season, if he hasn't already been fired by the NFL.
Who did this? Dale, you got to do the who did this. I'll retweet it. For me.
Why do I have to?
Yeah, he's not want to get that smoke.
Old soft ass.
Here's what Roy Ellison, just to remind you, what he said to Trent Williams in 2013. He was reprimanded and suspended for profane and derogatory comments towards Washington lineman Trent Williams during a game. Williams claimed he was called garbage ass and disrespectful mother bleeper. So, yeah, Roy Ellison is talking to players. Apparently not Phil McKinley.
Phil McKinley's the next to catch it. This is a great Wikipedia page.
That's a well-written page.
I'm going to have to tweet it out. All right. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5.
listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 821, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. I tweeted out that you got to read at John Granato, the Wikipedia page of the ref that missed the call in the Saints game. It's pretty awesome.
Pretty good.
Whoever did that, boy, it doesn't take long, right? Now, this guy is going to be heat forever. He's going to be the guy, the dude that just, he basically cost the Saints going to the Super Bowl. How much money is that? I mean, that's a big deal. Roger Goodell is the worst commissioner ever. I mean, honestly.
I'm not listening to any of this nonsense.
Okay.
If
they had a better commissioner, they'd have better referees.
Hey, sorry everyone's making so much money.
Sorry. The NFL is as profitable as ever.
Yeah, so pay him $44 million.
Did you see what
he can't make
the NFL
call.
And their one of their pizza providers, I guess. You see what Papa John's did?
Are they still at PJ's?
I don't know what they're doing, but it was during the game, the first game, Saints and Rams, and there's this commercial about Papa John's in New Orleans, and it was almost like Papa John's said, "We swear to God, black people love us." The entire commercial had African-American people in it in New Orleans celebrating Papa John's pizza.
What? Oh, I didn't see that, but I did see, and I thought this is actually really good damage control, because here's how this works. Like, Papa John's, they're all franchised, right? You save your money and you decide, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy a Papa John's franchise. You spend X amount of dollars to get it. Then they help. I'm assuming it's the same as what Steve McKinney has told us with McDonald's, where they help you find a location. They build it out for you as part of your franchise fee, yada, yada. And Papa John's, after all the stuff went down with Papa John, whatever his name is, their first commercial, like 2 weeks after, was all these owners,
yeah,
and there were minority owners, like, hey, we own Papa John's. Look at me. Look, I am a person of color. I am a woman. I'm not a racist. Like, that's what the commercial should have been. Like, please don't bury us. Please don't bury us, Twitter. Look at me, Twitter. Do a viral video with me that's good, please.
And before we move on from that, we got a call, and I did. I looked up the name. Apparently, Phil McKinley was on the crew, but he was not the referee who swallowed his whistle, according to the internet. And so apparently some guy from the NFL just called us, but he wouldn't give us his name because he didn't want that to be out there. He said, it's Gary Cavalletto. He's a guy who lives within 2 hours of L.A., apparently, and also his crewmate McKinley, we already know, played at UCLA.
Who's Cavalletto?
He apparently was the actual ref who didn't make the call. Now, McKinley, it was on the crew as well. But Cavalletto allegedly is the one to actually blame.
Well, I don't understand why. McKinley was right there. They said Cavalletto, apparently, is that typically his call based on where he's positioned?
Allegedly, that's the guy who's supposed to make the call and didn't make it.
Okay. Because there is, you know, you do have, you're supposed to make calls at certain positions.
Is that him? Because that looks like the guy that was standing right there and watching the play.
Does that look like a Cavalletto?
It doesn't look like a Cavalletto at all.
Thank you.
No.
An older Cavalletto with...
Well, wait a minute.
No,
so
you don't see
so
the picture, John. So
the line judge was looking at the play from one angle, and I didn't see the back judge. So
the back judge is the one who, I guess, is supposed to make the call.
He was sitting in the end zone, and so that might have been the call. But the line judge was looking right at it.
You can make that call.
I mean, you can make that call.
You can make that call.
Yeah,
I see holding calls where they have had six penalty flags thrown in.
Even this article
or targeting
from the LA Times says the call occurred in the vicinity of down judge Patrick Turner and side judge Gary Cavalletto.
Huh.
Okay. Yeah. Whatever. I like the McKinley thing anyway.
Because of the Wikipedia page.
Yeah. It's the greatest Wikipedia page
McKinley's
I've ever seen.
Dad, hey. Somebody's calling like, hey, Dad, I don't know if you saw this, but they've changed your Wikipedia page. Like, that wasn't even my call. I was on the other side.
Right.
The hell, how am I getting put in this thing?
Because you played for the Rams for one season.
Hey, wait a minute. Yeah. They've got me playing for the Rams in 19. I know, Dad. That's the internet being smart.
Wait a minute. What? All right. Let's get Paul in here on ESPN. What do you say, Paul?
Hey, what's going on, man?
How you doing, Paul?
Yeah, just a comment on the Saints game. That totally blows. That's a bad deal. But did you hear about some kind of rule, which is not going to happen, in the NFL, where they go and replay something over again? I don't know. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard of. But it's some kind of stipulation, some kind of something in the rules. I don't know what it is, but I think they got screwed, and I'm kind of pissed off about it.
I think what he's talking about is there's a rule where if Roger Goodell finds something egregious that he can, like how David Stern scuttled that trade with the Rockets and Chris Paul.
Yes,
and the Lakers, all
there's
type
a
stuff.
It's a nuclear option. And
yeah,
never
and
it, going
it's
to be
never
going to
happen. Yeah, he could say this was so egregious, I'm going to step in and change it. And he's never
going to
do that.
No, because they're not going to change a no call. Now, if there was something that had happened that needed to be reviewed, you can't even review that. That can't be. Roger Goodell can't step in for that.
No, there's not.
It's a missed call. And it'll go down in lore as
Don Denkinger.
Yeah.
I mean,
it is.
That call at first base in the World Series that cost. And
Cesar Cedeno a world title. Yep.
Well, it did, what?
It, cost
it gave Kansas City the title, right? Yeah.
Well, it gave them the win. I don't know if that was a title game, but they were playing.
No,
the
it was
Cardinals.
Game six, and then Kansas City killed them in game seven, right?
That was they ruined Cesar Cedeno's opportunity for.
Well, who cares about Cesar Cedeno?
Me, my favorite player of all time.
What the hell?
And then my dad came in when I was sleeping, and he'd been at Astros game. I might have been drinking, and he wasn't much of a drinker, but I just remember him waking me up and telling me that. I said, "How did Cesar do?" I was nine. How did Cesar do? Just kid with a favorite player. Mm-hmm. No big deal. Just me, like, he went to the game like, "Hey, Lancey, I'm back from the game. Oh, how did Cesar do? Struck out three times. Everyone booed him. Good night."
What? That's my favorite person.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Everyone booed him. He just murdered a woman in 72. Yeah, but Dad, it was involuntary manslaughter. He got off. Like, even at nine, I was grinding on the law. I'm like, that was involuntary. Yeah, it was his girlfriend. He thought it was a. Remember? I said, like, it was his girlfriend. Yeah, but he shot her because he thought she was a robber sneaking in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
Like Flipper did.
All of your favorite players are the worst. As I grew up, who's your favorite basketball player? Lewis Lloyd, Coke.
Mm-hmm.
Kicked out of the league for Coke. Benny Anders, same thing. Kicked off the U of H basketball team. John Jefferson, they said the worst work ethics of all time. That's where he went from great wide receiver to literally out of the league in 2 years. He also went to Green Bay where it's too cold.
Role models.
Yeah, I'm good like that.
829 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776.
Vernon Maxwell.
Come on in. Vernon was the best. 713-780-3776.
Marcus Peters. If little kid Lance right now, you know my favorite? I'd have a Marcus Peters jersey. Marcus Peters. Yay.
And Greg Hardy. All right.
Hey.
713-780-3776. Hey.
Greg had a good weekend.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Not available for Medicare, Medicaid, or other government insurance recipients.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. We have not. We're an hour and a half into this. And Patrick and Kevin, we get both you guys in here. But we have not even mentioned the Rockets-Lakers game Saturday night. And that was, well, they stole one. Just like they gave one away to the Nets, they stole that one. because the Lakers totally outplayed them without LeBron, blah, 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 whatever the case may be. They were outplayed. They couldn't hit anything. And then, thank God, James hit a couple three at the end. And then Eric Gordon got hot as well and hit the last two to send it to overtime. And then they won in overtime, in large part because of Eric Gordon. I saw James Harden do something that I thought this is maybe the best thing that I've seen James Harden do. He's sitting on 48 points in overtime and acting as the decoy. Not even as a decoy. He isn't even coming past half court because he knows what's going to happen.
And he had another guy who was red hot.
And they got Eric Gordon the ball every single time, and he knocked down the free throws. James could have said, give me the ball. I'll take the free throws. I'll hit my 50. He's sitting on 48 points. Would have been his third straight 50-point game. All the numbers, everything else. But he said, nope, this is Eric Gordon's game. Eric Gordon knocked down those two. Let Eric Gordon take all these free throws. I'm good.
And he did it with Chris Paul last year when he needed to let Chris, when Chris Paul was hot, he let him take over some games. Right. I mean, James does, for all the issues that people maybe point with James, one thing is he's basketball intelligent. He is a willing teammate on the court. He gets other people involved, obviously. And I do think there's a part of James that he really does want to win. I think there are certain numbers that he gets fascinated by. Like right now, this scoring thing is really – I think James wants to average over 40 for January, and I think he wants to see if he can average 36, 37 a game. I think those are things he wants to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, but it didn't overshadow that game. You're right. It didn't overshadow a game where Eric Gordon came back and was on fire. I mean, how does that feel when you lose Capella, but you get Gordon back, and all of a sudden you see Gordon? It's not like Gordon's going to do that every game. But when Gordon does that and James is doing what he's doing, they got a chance to withstand this. This is going to be – you're going to be without Capella and Chris Paul probably for at least another couple of weeks. Capella longer, obviously, but I'm assuming Chris Paul gets back by February?
Mm. Why? Why would you say something like that?
Well, that will have been – 5.5 to 6 weeks. How long do hamstrings need?
The reality of it is, and there are none too. There's behind the scenes. They, you know, $40 million a year. They are pissed. I mean, this is not what they signed up for. But if Daryl Morey didn't lay this out, that dude is going to miss 20 or more games a season. Then that's on him.
Who behind the scenes thinks they didn't sign up for this? When everybody could have told you this was going to happen.
You just had to go NBA.com and go look at his games played. This wasn't hard. Everyone, this is injury play. He's a soft tissue guy.
Yeah, but when you're...
You think there's people behind the scenes of the Rockets who are surprised?
Yeah, that are and not happy about it.
Why?
Because
we talked about it before the season started. We all knew.
Everybody, well, that's the problem.
Everybody knew. Well, who doesn't know?
That's my thought. If we knew, how could they not know?
Anyone in a coma during the signing?
No.
No, I don't remember.
No, but you still don't have to necessarily be happy about it.
I get not being happy.
It's the deal, man. It's just the deal.
You should be resigned to your fate because when you signed, I don't know if the negotiations were more contentious than we think, that Chris was really pushing for everything he could gain, and maybe that's what's pissing them off because now they have to deal with it. But anyone from the outside knew this was going to be something you're going to have to worry about for the entirety of
the contract. Yeah, you're hoping it went from 20 games to 12
games. When it becomes reality, though.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think so. I think so.
Then if that's where you're thinking, then
in theory, that's all fine. But when it's real and it's costing.
It's been real for three straight years.
Yeah.
It's been real for three straight years. I mean, it doesn't take
Eric Eric Gordon was very injury prone, too, before he got here.
Eric Gordon has had time off as a Rocket, too.
But not like this. Like,
no, but Chris, like Chris but Chris, Paul. But Chris Paul is a declining. He's in a declining physical phase of his career, and once you see 3 years of it, I mean, come on, I'm not an analytics, master of analytics. This is a known basketball fact that physically, it's a known sports fact that when you physically start to deteriorate, it turns into soft tissue, And once you see multiple seasons, once you see two seasons back to back and you're over 30, you're probably in the midst of that. This has been three seasons. This was a guaranteed lock of the century.
Well, and you got three more years of it.
Yeah.
And it's
100%. You're not going to be able to move.
Again, it doesn't. While all that is illogical.
Is there thought he's not coming back when he could come back?
Or is there a thought he's not coming back unless he's 110%? Is there,
do you want him to?
I don't.
If you know he can get hurt?
No, I don't.
I'm almost to the point where
the deal.
Don't then.
Here's what you almost have
get
to.
Get ready for
you,
the postseason.
This is it. Is Chris, you have to be there for the end of the year. Yep. That's it. That's it.
CJ Anderson, this. What if he comes back and we're like, oh my God.
How fat
Chris
is.
Has a CJ Anderson ass.
Well, he kind of leans that way already.
That's what I'm saying. He's not playing.
Oh, no. Well, Chris is going to be.
Who's a basketball player?
He's going to be heavy when he's
isn't
done.
There, wasn't there a guard like. No, recently it was who got upset because
Raymond
people were
Felton
calling him fat.
Is that guy.
Raymond Felton is that guy, but who was it that played at Syracuse who's kind of thick and came off the bench who just recently were people on Instagram saying he's fat? I don't care if I'm fat.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
the pictures.
Deion Waiters.
Deion Waiters, yeah. Like, please don't come back like Deion Waiters.
Please.
Chris Paul, like, oh my God, he looks like his brother.
We're seeing him on the bench, although he's wearing suits, you know.
He looks stylish, though.
His face doesn't look like he's getting fatter. But he's got to watch it. Dude, that dude, he's got a tendency. He's going to be heavy after he's done.
Yeah, he works hard at his body. I think he'll keep up with it. It means enough to him. Well, I think he's staying in shape, but I also think he realizes, man, I'm judged by... The money's one thing, but I'm judged by how I help this team do ultimately in the postseason. And he probably looks at last year and says, "I win a world championship if I'm healthy last year. And I'd rather have that shot." Here's the thing. I don't think everything plays into them getting the same shot this year. But I say that, but it's not like the West is harder.
Didn't you say the Patriots were done, right? They're done?
Pretty much. As soon as the Rams knocked them off, they're done.
No. They're not done.
They're finished.
They're done.
They're not.
They're pretty much done.
I picked the Chiefs, and I even said the Patriots will always have a shot as long as Tom Brady's around. Like, even if they lost yesterday, doesn't mean the Patriots are done.
Let's have this conversation in. Are the Patriots still alive? And it is in part because of Tom Brady on his third down. I mean, he converted 6-6 to third and seven. They kept getting the third downs. Isn't it also true that the secondary and the defense of the Kansas City Chiefs made that a reality for one Tom Brady and the New England Patriots?
I mean, I can't.
They were
so stinky. I don't know how passive and how, you know, Tom Brady wouldn't be able to read the same defense eight times in a row. I mean, is that the thought that at some point he wasn't going to be able to figure out you doing the same thing over and over again?
He's probably going to say, there's no way they're doing this again.
Yeah.
There's just no way.
Man, this is hard.
We're not going to get any pressure, and we're going to play too deep and allow the middle field to be wide open. And at some point, he's going to say,
they can't be doing that again.
Look, Drew Brees will miss a wide open slant. By the way, that probably would have went for a touchdown. I just watched the play because they had a blocker out in front. It was set up that way to throw it quickly and have a blocker take out a guy. Michael Thomas might have scored. But Tom Brady is not Drew Brees, and he's not going to miss the throw.
Well, the same thing happened with Woods, too. He fell down.
Yeah.
I mean, that was it to the house.
Although I say that, and Tom Brady, whether it be Gronk not being athletic enough anymore, he did miss a throw, and the game was over. Until we've realized D4 doesn't know where to line up.
That's right.
Well, so he did miss the throw.
He missed the throw, or it went through the receiver's arm?
Well, it was high.
Yeah.
It was high. So Gronk, you know, he's a big robot now. He made the play against Eric Berry, but he's not the same guy.
Yeah.
So it was a little high, probably not the greatest throw, and it bounced off Gronk's hands and was a pick until D4. We remember, D4 doesn't actually know where to line up. Look, D, you're not going to get to him anyway. You haven't got there all game. You might as well just drop back into coverage.
It's the first time D4's ever lined up.
Oh, pulling a Jadeveon Clowney.
That was.
No, Clowney gets offsides. D4 is lined up a yard and a half. Like, D, how could you not know?
All you got to do
is
look at the rest of your guys. Look at all the other guys who haven't gotten to Tom Brady all day. They found a way to stay where they're supposed to be.
What if an official went, hey,
back
this
up.
Is bad. Dude,
you're embarrassing yourself.
Like, dude, back up.
All right.
Hey.
Why wouldn't they? Don't wide receivers look and go, am I okay? Why wouldn't the
wide... D4 didn't do that, though.
Yeah, is that what the receivers... Is that what they do when they're on the line?
Yeah.
I've never known what... I mean, I know what they're doing. I didn't know specifically what
they're doing. They're checking with the ref. Hey, am I on?
And the ref has to give them...
Okay. I don't know if he does or not, but they always check.
You know what else is good? Patios.
Checking with your Texas Custom Patio rep to make sure that they're on time. And guess what? They are on time. They're always on time. Texas Custom Patios is so good at turning your house into a home. And what I mean by that is you can be living in a house but not really enjoy it. But when you have an outdoor living space like I have now, and I didn't have it before, but I made that decision. I'd been saving up money, and I decided this is something I want to do to make my house more livable. And now I can go outside and watch these games outside on my patio with a big screen television and a surround sound system right there. And they can do the same thing for you. That's part of the package that they offer. They design your outdoor space. They will pitch the roof, and they can do a vaulted roof like they have for me. They can pitch it and build it onto your pre-existing home. They have the best designers out there, and they will match your roof. They can build a fire pit if you like. They can deal with drainage issues that you may have. They've got a drainage guys. They get top. You want travertine? You want granite? Whatever you're looking for in your home or your stamped concrete, they can do that. Stamped and stained concrete. No matter what you're looking for there in your patio or your outdoor living space or your outdoor kitchen, or maybe you want to add a sunroom on or a room addition. They do all of these, and they do tremendous work. And it starts with the people like Stephen Schell, the owner, who is also one of the designers, because they understand what it looks like. What you can't see, they can see, and they can make your dreams a reality, or they can help you have some new dreams. It's really that good. And if you don't believe me, go to tcplance.com and see for yourself. tcplance.com, that's tcplance.com, and check out for yourself what they can do for your backyard, just like what they did for me. It's Texas Custom Patios.
Rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I don't understand this. Does the NFL need to address overtime rules? They already have. They went from first score to first touchdown on the opening kick. And if you can hold no field goal, the other team gets the ball, too.
But it still doesn't make any sense.
No one wants them with head injuries and head trauma. You want to play extra where you have to play extra football?
So they took 5 minutes off of the – I mean, really?
Well, that actually caused ties. Yeah. I mean, that was dumb.
Because that 5 minutes is going to save all those head injuries. What? That's so stupid.
Make it 15.
And, oh, by the way, it's stupid that both teams don't get to touch the ball. It's just stupid. I don't care that they scored a touchdown. The other team should get their shot.
Okay, then the other team should have to go for two. That's the way to get around.
Okay.
Because you can't just keep going and going. This can't be like college football. Like, we're in overtime 7 between Kentucky and South Carolina. This is great.
Was the LSU A&M game not the greatest game ever played? Yeah, thank
NFL
you.
Players would be like, we're out here.
No, give them the ball. Yeah, okay, so you have to go for two. That's all.
And then half of Twitter after the LSU A&M game, like, they're not even getting paid, and you got them playing extra time. We just watched a great game. Why do you have to complain about everything?
Was that Jay Billis?
Jimbo's making 7 point whatever year. What is Kellen Mond making?
Here's where Twitter has coaches' salaries ready for you. Like, Y'all see an iconic 7 overtime game. I see players playing for free even more. Like, I know you do, Twitter.
Good Lord. Oh, Twitter got on Oklahoma boy in a hurry for trying to block dude from going to West Virginia. But at least that I get.
So if you want to say, okay, both teams get a possession, but what do you do if it's field goal? Like, I'm kind of okay with having some. You had 60 minutes to figure it out.
But wait a minute. It's field goal, that's what happens now.
Yeah, that's what happens. That's what happens now.
Right.
I don't like
that's
it with
fine,
touchdown.
But if it's a touchdown, then you don't get the ball. Really? Why?
Yeah, because you have a chance to stop them. Stop them for a field goal.
Well, but what if you don't stop them?
Five,
so
then,
I shouldn't get
you,
the ball?
Yeah, you lose.
So I don't get the ball?
Get the call
that's
better.
That's dumb. That's dumb.
They've already addressed overtime.
The whole thing is dumb.
They're not going to – the NFL, because of the Players Association, is in they're in looming – we got a lockout not far down the road. They're not going to look at anything that extends the games for players for free. They're not going to do it because they already know the NFLPA can use that as a bargaining chip and leverage.
Well, it's not. It's deciding a winner. That's all. So you would cut it 5 minutes. It's a 10-minute. Really? What did that solve?
The 10-minute thing, all that did was it caused more ties. That 10 minutes is not long enough. You can get a good 5-minute drive in that ends at the 37-yard line, and you're like, we're punting. We're not trying to Legatron this thing. Not everyone has Greg Zuerlein. Shout out to the fam. We're going to punt it.
But whatever.
But maybe we spelled ours differently at some point. I'm pretty sure every time they say that name, you got to understand now, I never hear my last name on a broadcast ever in my entire life. And all of a sudden here, this is a great moment for Zuerlein. What?
I'll let you know when Olele is mentioned on the NFL, okay? Yeah.
Have you had any Olele's publicly?
No, I haven't, actually.
Have you ever been watching a soccer match?
No, there are no famous Olele's, no.
Never even on a Spanish broadcast with Olele! Hey, no, senor, no, senor, no, senor. No. That was actually a football call.
No, it's not Olele, it's a different word.
Isn't there a guy on the Pacers, Olele?
Oladipo.
No, it's, well, Olajay, whatever the Celtic guy.
Olajay, same thing.
Not for me.
It really kind of is.
No, it's not really. I can tell the difference.
Okay, Zuerlein is Z-U-E-R.
At least it's pronounced the same.
Okay.
Z-U-E-R-L-E-I-N. It makes me wonder if his people change his spelling.
When was the last time you saw, isn't your brother, that could be your brother.
No, my brother's in his 40s. That's not my brother.
Are you sure it's not your brother?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, wait a minute. What if your dad had another kid with a Russian model?
Then he would look differently than that guy.
You have another brother.
He would probably look differently.
Well, what if she was an African Russian?
That seems unlikely. It's not a likely scenario.
It's highly unlikely
particularly from the early 90s.
Yes.
Could be. You don't know, though.
You're right. I am not sure, but why would my father spell that guy's name differently?
To hide. So
to hide what?
To hide from you.
Well, he's hiding. Why would he want to hide that guy from me?
He wants to give his money and his will to somebody else not you.
Seems like you're making nothing out of nothing. I don't think that guy's my brother. The dude from the Celtics.
That says you, but
former SMU
I'd
player.
I'd look into it if I were you.
Feels potentially accurate.
Yep. All right, but let's catch up. And Alan on the other side, or he'll join us as well. 713-780-3776. Right now, though, we're talking about mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag. It is the place to go. Yes, I took a bath. Yes, yesterday. Okay, all of them. I could not have been more wrong. Oh, well, you know what I'll do? I'll bounce back today. Well, I'm betting Rockets. Over the 76. How about I bet James over 30 points? That's what I'm going to do. Bet James. It's got to be over that. We'll find out, though. It's got to be 40, probably. But you know what? I'm going with it. I'm going with James in this one. Listen, if you're looking for a great way to play, have some fun, mybookie.ag. They've already got the lines out for you. They've got the lines out for the game. Oh, my God. It started Rams minus, and it's already up to Patriots minus 2.5. That's how this money's gone. Patriots minus 2.5. We wait on it. Wait. It could go down. Wait. Hold on. You don't know. All the prop bets from Super Bowl 53. Quarterback props, running back props, receiving props, defensive props, scoring props. All of it. College basketball, you want to play. NBA basketball. See what our Rockets are today. Rockets in Philadelphia. The Rockets right now at this point in our life are plus 3.5. Easy money. I need you right now to get to mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag. It's so much fun. They'll match a half of your initial deposit at mybookie.ag.
Like a startling sign.
Need a new restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler.